This is Terrio Media.
It ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble.
It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. You don't have a money problem, you have an idea problem. Welcome to the final frontier, where the average person has a legitimate shot at creating
epic wealth.
Your host, Matt Terrio.
Yeah, hello. Hello, and welcome to the Creating Epic Wealth Show, the revolutionary new money show disguised as a real estate show. As real estate, it's the final frontier where the average person has a legitimate shot at creating epic wealth. I mean, you really just don't have a chance at any sort of financial freedom unless you incorporate real estate into your financial plan. And if you just don't have the time to do it, or maybe the desire to take on all that heavy lifting, then this is the show for you. This is real estate investing for busy people. My name is Matt Terrio, real estate investor and fund manager. Nice to meet you. A bit about me: when I got out of the Marine Corps a while back, I spent the next 15 years of my life or so in the music business at a very small independent hip-hop record label with major label distribution. And I did pretty well for myself until the digital download turned that entire industry upside down. And really, in 6 short months, I found myself bankrupt, divorced, and bagging groceries for $7 an hour. I had no plan B. But I knew whatever my next venture would be, that plan B is going to have to be lucrative. Because after going from seven-figure lifestyle to a $7 an hour job, all I wanted was my money back. I wanted my life back. And after about 6 months of soul searching, the answer came to me from the most unlikely source. Came from the grocery store manager, who coincidentally was the same age as I, and he showed me what he was up to in life. And he was just a few years away from retiring from the grocery store. He started working there when he was a teenager. And along the way, he had managed to acquire a half dozen apartment buildings, churning off a passive income that exceeded his monthly pay from the grocery store. His investments were making more each and every month than he was going to work for. And long story short, what that did is, I mean, just an entirely new world opened up to me through that conversation. I mean, at that very moment, it was just like my world was never the same. It was very much like The Matrix, you know, the movie, The Matrix, the hero of the story, Neo, right? He's given a choice by his mentor, Morpheus, between two pills. You got the blue pill and you got the red pill. Now, the blue pill, that's going to allow him to go back to his normal, boring, unchallenging, regular life. The red pill, that's going to result in Neo learning some hard truths about reality, but ultimately help him reach his full potential and live a more fulfilling life. So I'm about to give you a similar choice. So choose wisely. And if you do, your life will never be the same. I want to help you create a new roadmap that's going to actually serve your dreams, that's going to make those dreams a reality. And this roadmap, it can get you from false security to freedom much quicker than how you're probably going about it. So if you want to escape the drudgery of the rat race forever, there's a choice that you're going to have to make. And that choice is to shift your focus from saving piles of cash to creating streams of cash. If you can make that choice just one time and follow through on it, financial freedom will soon be yours. And here's what I mean. The irony here, it's astonishing. You see, the core concept of saving for retirement is to accumulate enough money so that it pays you enough of a residual income from the interest so that you can live the rest of your life without having to work. That promise, it motivates us to work and save some more for 40, 50 years. That's a 40 to 50 year plan. And then one day we hope we end up with that huge pile of cash that's going to generate the substantial cash flow that's going to do the trick. It's all about the number of dollars saved to generate the monthly number of dollars that we need per month. You know, the financial giant, ING, right? For example, they promote their services with that famous slogan, "What's your number?" You know, what is that number that you need to retire? And it's a good slogan. I love that slogan. But we've been looking at the wrong number, the wrong side of the equation. We've been focused on the number of dollars in the bank or the fund or the 401k, how much we've saved. You know, and of course the financial powers that promote this strategy. Of course they do this. It's a winner for them. They make a ton of money off your money. The more money they have of yours, the more money that they make. Now, that's the important number to them. That's why they promote that number, how much you save. The important number to you, though, is the cash flow you receive every month without having to trade your time for it. The cash flow you receive from that number. We make a mad scramble to have all this money piled up. But what we really want is the cash flow that it's going to generate. So instead of focusing on the pile, like the $1.2 million that analysts say that we need to retire comfortably, how about focusing on the $4,000 of residual income that big pile of money is supposed to generate? Not that $4,000 a month is comfortable, but that's what that would generate. $1.2 million would generate in today's climate, $4,000 a month approximately. So instead of focusing on the 1.2, let's focus on the 4,000. Forget about the saving of 1.2 million. Forget about that number. It doesn't matter. And you're highly unlikely to ever accumulate it in your life anyway. Did you get that? I mean, just like, it should click just like that. You see that? That shift, it creates a whole new realm of possibilities. I mean, which sounds easier to you? Saving in the realm of $1 million or creating the $4,000 of monthly residual income? Given that almost nobody ever stashes away nearly as much as $1 million for retirement, the $4,000 starts to look like the viable alternative. Okay, so if you're still uncertain about this, trust me, follow me. It is. In fact, the average person with the right mindset and just a little bit of know-how can realistically create $4,000 of monthly residual income in 4 years or less. Think about that. 99% of the population isn't achieving that much cash flow in 40 years of saving money. I'm saying that you can do it in a tenth the time with this shift in mindset. And it's going to be more secure at that. And you're going to be in control. So if it's that much easier, if it's that much better, why don't more people do it? Well, there can only be three reasons. Either they've never heard of such a concept, they never thought about it, so they just don't know about it. Or they have heard of the concept, but they don't know how to actually do it. Or they just don't believe it will work. Well, I'm here to let you in on the secret and show you exactly how to do it. If you don't believe me, I don't care. I'm going to prove it to you, though. Okay? The difference between piles of cash and streams of cash, it's profound. You'll likely not be able to make any more progress until this concept is indelibly etched into your brain. Once you have a real grasp on this concept and start applying it for yourself, you're going to begin a swift journey down that path to financial freedom. This path is going to open up a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of living, instead of the drudgery of exchanging time for money. I mean, people who buy into this concept wake up every day with a focus on creating systems that will make money work for them. And then once their residual income exceeds their expenses, the accumulation of assets and the creation of wealth are essentially automatic. Then your time is yours, and you can go to work, or you can go fishing. Now, because it is the best vehicle, I'm going to use real estate to further demonstrate the power of cash flow versus the power of cash. Okay? Well, one of the many advantages of real estate is that it can produce income in basically two very powerful ways. Real estate can produce large amounts of cash through short-term strategies like fix and flip and wholesaling, and it can also produce smaller amounts of monthly cash flow through long-term strategies like buy and hold and lease options. So for someone with a saver's mindset, a $30,000 cash profit, say, from a fix and flip deal, that's always going to be preferred over a buy and hold deal that cash flows just $300 per month. I mean, someone can be thoroughly committed to the idea of earning residual income, but most people are so ingrained with the saver's mindset that they just can't resist the big cash payouts that real estate offers. I mean, if I offered you right now, let's just imagine I'm sitting there next to you and I offered you $30,000 of cash, a pile of $30,000, or I gave you $300 per month of cash flow, which one would you choose? Would you take the $30,000 of cash or the $300 of monthly cash flow? You know, society's accumulated training tragically leads wealth seekers to dismiss the value of the cash flow, thinking that they can just go do another deal and add to their pile of cash. They're going to continue to exchange their time for money, always looking for that next big payday. But you can't blame them. I mean, $30,000, that feels like you're progressing. That feels like you're profiting and you're moving forward. Taking the $300 is certainly, it's counterintuitive, isn't it? It doesn't seem to make sense on the surface. I mean, this is a really good example that demonstrates why so few people become financially free. Because when you have the real world scenario of which one are you going to choose, left hand I got $30,000, right hand I got $300 of cash flow, most people take that $30,000. They think it's the right thing to do. But the fastest path to freedom is the path that chooses the $300 of cash flow. And I'm going to demonstrate why right after this.
And now, back to creating your epic wealth.
Yes, we're back. So currently, financial giant, ING, and I'm not picking on them, by the way, I'm actually applauding them. Because what they're doing right now is they're advertising approximately a 1% interest rate on their money market account. And the reason I'm applauding that 1% because it's just about the most generous savings account available today to the average consumer. Now, the money invested there, it's safe, it's secure, and it's insured by the U.S. government as well. So let me ask you, to create that $300 of monthly cash flow we were talking about earlier, how much would you have to save in that ING account to create $300 of cash flow? You'd need to have $360,000 in that account. That's right. You need to have more than the large majority of people are able to save in a lifetime in that account just to achieve a monthly sum that is probably not even enough to buy a month's worth of groceries. You see, $300 of cash is worth $300 of cash, right? $300 of cash flow, however, is worth more than $360,000 of cash sitting in the most generous savings account available at the moment. That's the difference. You know, even if they make great money, the saver, the one with the saver mindset, they'd have to make that $30,000 on that fix and flip. They'd have to do that fix and flip 10 times over to safely earn enough to create the cash flow in that ING account than if they had just chosen the buy and hold deal, that one buy and hold deal for $300 of monthly cash flow. You might be thinking that $300, that sounds great, but it's not going to pay the bills, Matt, right? It's probably not going to make any great lifestyle changes available to you. It's not going to impact your life really in any significant way. But that being the case, what amount would? What would impact your life? Would $5,000 a month do it? Or maybe closer to $10,000. Let's go with $10,000 and let's just do the math. Do the math there and you realize that you're going to need to accumulate $12 million of cash in that ING account to create $10,000 a month of cash flow. $12 million of cash. Now that is a pile of cash. Now given that $12 million is probably not even a possibility for you. Can you see that the $10,000 of cash flow is probably going to be a much easier road to travel? It's going to be much easier to generate, to create that stream of cash. And you're like, well, wait a minute. What do you mean $12 million is not a possibility for me? Well, here's what I mean. If you got started right now and you stashed away an extra $20,000 a year, so whatever you're earning a year, just subtract $20,000 from that and you're going to put that away. How long would that take you to get to $12 million bucks? It'd take you 600 years to do it. So maybe you're fortunate, you've got a great job, you have a great income, and you can afford to pile up $20,000 a month. Even then, it'd take you 50 years to have enough. You'd likely be too old and worn out to enjoy your financial freedom anyway. But hey, what's your number, right? Here's the deal. You aren't going to get to financial freedom if you keep traveling down the savings and accumulation path. But generating $10,000 of monthly residual income, now that right there, that is possible. If you change your mindset, decide on freedom, and then take the actions that are correlate to that mindset, it's not only possible. I got good news for you. It's probable. Now, when it comes to generating cash flow, income, or residual income, passive income, there are actually many different ways to do that. Maybe you can write a book or produce music that's going to result in royalties, or you could own any number of businesses, from storage facilities to parking lots, vending machines, laundromats, a franchise, or maybe even get involved in the right network marketing company. I mean, I hope that you choose several paths to passive income. The point is that passive income is a must. That monthly number needs to become your focus. The monthly income number needs to be your focus, not the number that you need, that number that you need to save. And when it comes to cash flow, of all the ideas that I just shared with you and all the ideas that I've explored, all the ideas to produce cash flow, the one that I know of that's the absolute most surest is real estate. And that's why I say at the top of the show, this is a money show described as a real estate show. Because if you want to generate cash flow, you want to generate financial freedom, real estate, that's the easiest and most surest path to get there. And there's multiple reasons, and we're going to go over all of those during this show. So what you got to do is you just got to shift your focus from saving piles of money to creating streams of money. Make that one choice just one time, and you've multiplied your journey to financial freedom by 10. Now, there's some traps out there. You're going to have to avoid these traps, or else it's not going to be such a short, streamlined path. You got to avoid these traps, and there are five of them specifically, five significant traps, and I'm going to share those with you. But let's recap real quick. You know, we discussed your number, right? The masses focus on the number that's in their bank account. But as we proved, the faster path to financial freedom is by focusing on the number you receive each month and that doesn't come directly from your efforts. We call that passive income, cash flow, residual income. We're going to use all of those terms here interchangeably, but that's the number you want to focus on, the monthly residual income number. And by saving your money as a means to create that monthly residual income number, that's the long way to go about it, 10 times longer than if you were to focus on creating the monthly residual in a number itself. So that's what's wrong with saving money. It just takes too long before you have the ability to do what you want with your life. Now, I'm not saying don't have some money in reserves. I'm not saying just be cash broke and just living on the residual income. No, you should have a safety net, so to speak. But saving money should not be your wealth building strategy. Saving money is very slow, and most people are too darn old to enjoy what they save by the time that they have saved enough. Now, other than saving money being the slow way to building wealth, it's also one of the traps. It is the first trap we're going to talk about. It's a huge wealth building trap. And here's what I mean. What would happen if, you know, you decided you were going to become a medical doctor, but you were going to only use the medical technology from the 1950s? I mean, it was good enough for them, right? So why change? There are some things that stay the same. Some things are different. The medical practices and technology of 60 years ago, face it, it simply just wouldn't cut it in our present world. Certainly, some things remain consistent, but we've learned and we've gained much. Things have changed financially as well. But most people remain fixed on financial advice that made perfect sense in 1950. Today, not so much. Things have changed, and perhaps not for the better. So it's time to update our financial thinking. And I'm going to share with you some ideas on how to do that as we dive into some ideas that are commonly held as sound financial advice. But in fact, they are traps. Traps in the most literal sense of the word, disguised as wisdom. The type of wisdom we've been hearing our entire lives. We've been hearing it from our parents. We've been hearing it from our teachers, our mentors, our financial advisors, from our favorite radio and TV personalities, from the multitude of media that floods our society today. Wisdom that has become so ingrained in our psyche that we don't dare question it, for it's accepted as absolute truth. These traps are slowing your journey to financial freedom, if not blocking the road altogether. Like a 10-car pileup on the 405 at rush hour, they're virtually unavoidable unless you know what they are. If you know what they are, very easy to sidestep. Like Todd Gurley, dodging the defensive line, linebackers, and safeties all the way to the end zone. And I'm going to shed some light on that for you. A bright light. Right after this.
And now, back to creating your epic wealth.
Alrighty, we're back. And today we've discussed all kinds of great and fun and exciting new ideas, right? We've discussed how to or why to shift your focus from saving piles of cash to creating streams of cash, on how that can increase your journey to financial freedom by 10. And we're now getting into certain traps. I mean, you make that shift and you are on your way, but there are certain traps that you need to avoid, these wealth traps. So the first trap, big one, is saving money. That's a trap. It absolutely is a trap. You know, after World War II, America boomed. Many of the returning soldiers, they returned in better health with better education than when they left. In the men's absence, women had learned new, valuable workplace skills, and our manufacturing sector had become robust, right? We were booming. Medical technology advanced rapidly, improving the health and increasing longevity of people. Jobs were plentiful. The suburbs were booming. I mean, optimism was in the air. You could smell it. The U.S. was looked on favorably by the rest of the world. Do you remember that? And we had helped save the day. The American people were on top of the world. Now, Europe, they were picking up the rubble. They were rebuilding their infrastructure and economies. They couldn't compete with the U.S. in technology or finance. Germany's science wizards had been lured to the U.S. to work here, and Japan limped along with a crippled economy. China was still largely a backwater nation, and Russia had lost over 7 million of its citizens. The American economy boomed for decades without competition and with its powerful work ethic. I mean, it wasn't too hard or difficult during these boom times to get a decent return on an exchange of time for your dollars. Prosperity abounded. And the trappings of prosperity, they were apparent. I mean, we had telephones, washing machines, televisions, beautiful giant cars, airplanes, rocket ships. The sky was the limit. What we had learned from previous generations about saving money seemed more sensible than ever. I mean, this tried and true financial wisdom was simple and effective. Exchange your time for money in a job with a great company and religiously save a portion of those earnings. Buying a house and paying it off as fast as you can made a lot more sense in this era. You worked a job for 30 to 40 years. You saved up a great big pile of money. You paid into Social Security and perhaps, you know, even were blessed with a pension when your working days were done. This plan worked for a long time. And most Americans did well with this advice until 1971. In 1971, everything changed. There were a series of economic measures in that year dubbed the Nixon Shock. They were enacted by President Nixon, and the rules of money, they had changed forever. There were some good things and bad things about the Nixon Shock measures, but one thing was certain. Saving money now became a lot less profitable. However, this truth was never really communicated to the American people. People just kept right on with that old, outdated, traditional, really just antiquated advice as a means to provide for their future. Now, the main policy that struck a blow to our savings was leaving the gold standard. You know, prior to 1971, a U.S. dollar was directly convertible to gold. You know, since gold is a rare, tangible product, it holds its value. When currency is backed by gold, called commodity currency, inflation, it's held in check. Now, to the contrary, or in contrast, I should say, fiat currency is simply banknotes printed by the government. It's not fixed in value by any objective standard because there's nothing backing it other than the belief of the people that are using it. Fiat currency, therefore, it's much more prone to inflation. Its value is significantly eroded over time as the government prints more and more to bail itself out of one trouble or another. So, since 1913, when the Federal Reserve System was put in place, the cumulative rate of inflation of the U.S. dollar is 2,303.5%. Something that would have cost you $20 in 1913 $20 in 1913 cost you $480.70 today. And this isn't just because stuff costs more. No, it's because your money is worth less. Because of our current fiat system, our savings are eroded by inflation. It's eroded by inflation over time. Now, another factor that made saving more problematic as time went on was the growing problem of longevity risk. You know, just after World War II, life expectancy was 62 years old. By 2010, the life expectancy was close to 80. You see, those extra years represent a lot more cash that the average retiree must save, that they must accumulate. Medical expenses have also skyrocketed, adding to the financial costs of living longer. Honest estimates for what the average retiree needs to achieve a manageable retirement, those estimates sit right around $1 million. That's more than is practical or even possible for most people. Now, I'm not saying that saving money as a principle is a terrible thing to do, but saving alone will not get you where you want to go. If you are going to really retire, you're going to need to save a lot. And the problem with that is you can end up scrimping for tomorrow while the most healthy and active years of your life just fly by. You know, focusing so intensely on providing for your tomorrow, it can rob you of your enjoyment today. Is that the life that you want? Is it enough just to get by day after day, working for your someday, while being ground down in the present? What if, as the case with most Americans today, you are not able to save enough? You're just not going to be able to retire. You're never going to be able to stop working. I mean, Walmart, they, I don't know, they're sure to be hiring greeters. You could rely on the government, or you could rely on your church or your family to support you. You have to ask yourself, is that the way you want to spend the end years of your life? You could further double down on saving right now, trying to catch up. In that case, what would you need to sacrifice right now? What would you have to give up? What would your family have to give up? What kind of life do you need to live right now in order to safely provide for your future, if that were your plan? Perhaps you've heard that you can save more effectively with a tax-deferred plan. I wish that were true, but the facts, they just don't bear out. And we'll discuss that in great detail a little later. But the point here is, wealth trap number one is the concept of saving money. If inflation doesn't get you, the longer years of your life will, and then both probably are going to crush you if saving money is your strategy. So that's wealth trap number one. Wealth trap number two, budgeting. Got to have a budget, right? You know, a lot of financial gurus, they stress reducing your expenses as one of the most important things you can do to become financially free. They teach you to cut out your daily Starbucks, for example, and then save and invest that $4 a day. Here's the thing. It is important that you learn to be disciplined with your expenses. However, the bigger picture is that you're better served by focusing on how you can earn a dollar rather than on how you can save a nickel. Cutting expenses can certainly have a place in your overall financial plan, but it's a misguided approach to put all your focus and energy on that. Why not put more focus on increasing your production? Why doesn't anybody ever teach us to do that? You know, we're taught to live within our means, right? And that certainly is wise advice. The problem with it is that few people think in terms of increasing their means to live that advice. Instead, we always think in terms of decreasing our expenses. By definition, this is a very limited approach. There are only so many expenses you can cut. But increasing your production, now that there, that's limitless. And I'm not saying to use this as a way to justify your expenses. No, be wise about your consumption. Be responsible. Be thoughtful. particularly as you are building your way to financial freedom. Don't buy a bunch of trips and toys and you know, go out on nights on the town and just live it up and think, hey, I'm just going to get up tomorrow and go earn more money to pay for it. No, don't do that. That's not what I'm saying. I want you to focus on increasing your production and your cash flow, and then use your increased cash flow to purchase more assets. Then your assets can pay for your fun. Then your assets establish the new means of which you're supposed to live within. Alrighty, so wealth trap number one, saving money. Wealth trap number two, budgeting. And I'll be right back with more wealth traps right after this.
And now, back to creating your epic wealth.
Alrighty, we're back. And we are discussing the wealth traps that are disguised as financial wisdom, the type of wisdom that we all follow. And these wealth traps, they interfere with your epic wealth creation. So wealth trap number one that we discussed was saving money. Yep, it's a trap. Wealth trap number two, budgeting, having a budget. Yep, that's a trap as well. And there are many more. We'll cover those over the coming weeks. But today we're going to finish off with this one. And this one is probably going to upset you a little bit. And that one is maxing out your 401k. Yep, it's a trap. You know, in 1978, a tiny part of a law called the Revenue Act made it possible to save money and defer the tax liability. Sounds good. But it wasn't planned out, it wasn't tested or really even thought through. But soon this provision, known by its place in that bill as line 401k, became the nation's default retirement savings plan. And people, they adopted it with great hopes that they would soon be amassing these big giant piles of money on a tax-deferred basis. Sounds great. It looks good on paper even. In reality, 401k plans have been a complete failure. Now, as I've mentioned today, the financial world was different, very different in the 30 years after World War II. The three pillars of retirement consisted of pensions, savings, and Social Security. All in all, the working population had great confidence in these three pillars and in their financial security in their elder years. Pensions, they were paid out by their employers. It was a fixed monthly benefit achieved after years of service to a company. Some people don't even know what a pension is today. And then banks offered a reasonable savings rate, and Uncle Sam promised to help out as well to fill in the gaps. Of course you'd be able to retire. There wasn't a question. But within one generation, boom, all that is evaporated. Uncle Sam has been completely incompetent as a money manager. Social Security is going broke. It's only a matter of time. As it is, the monthly benefit for most people from Social Security is less than $2,000 a month. Now, that might work as a supplement, but it's not going to provide any sort of manageable retirement on its own. The interest rates offered by banks and savings accounts, they've plummeted. They go up and down, and perhaps they'll come back up to an acceptable level, but it won't likely ever be enough, as demonstrated in the savings wealth trap. Pensions have been largely abandoned in favor of 401k plans. Very few companies offer pensions because they are expensive compared to offering matched contributions to 401ks. You know, in 1980, almost 85% of private industry employees benefited from a company pension plan. By 2011, less than 20% of workers benefited from them. In that same time period, 401k participants grew from basically zero to more than 50 million people. Corporations, they love 401k plans. Why? Because all the risk is shifted to the employee. And the corporate employers, they pay out much less money. It's cheaper for them. They even get a nice tax break for contributing to your plan. And this is all packaged up as a favor. You know, not many years from now, we're going to be looking back at the 401k fiasco and just shaking our heads in disgust as a society. We're going to wonder why we ever bought into it and how we could have ignored the evidence of its failure for so long. I mean, how did this obscure section of the law become so prevalent and popular? This is what the average person is being sold every day. Max out your 401k. Keep stuffing money into that sucker and everything's going to be all right. The idea, it's only 30 years old. It's barely enough to get a sense if it's going to work or not or how it's working. I mean, but now that we can see the initial results, it's crystal clear. 401ks simply aren't working. And there are three reasons why. They fall into three categories. The first is that the 401k idea, it's simply the contemporary version of the idea that if you just save enough money, you're going to be okay. Most people, they don't even know or care what they are even invested in. They simply are just comforted in that they are, in fact, saving money. This is not wise investing. It's wishful thinking. Even more importantly, it's not happening. People aren't generally able to save and grow nearly enough wealth in their 401ks to retire. And here are the stats. I mean, the median 401k balance, at retirement age for the average American is right around $100,000. That's about a tenth. That's one tenth of what is needed for the average person to retire, quote unquote, comfortably. Well, let's say that you're not average, right? Because you're among the higher income earners of society and you earn over $100,000 a year. Well, in that case, your 401k savings average right around the retirement age is $350,000. $350,000. That might seem like a big chunk of money to you, but it isn't. You aren't even halfway to the amount you're going to need to ensure your retirement with anything resembling your current lifestyle. You're not even halfway there. The second reason why 401ks are a disaster in the making is market risk. I mean, you are really exposed. The money could simply evaporate. If you are invested in a 401k, your future livelihood depends on consistent market gains and wise investing. Most people did not pick their plans with input from wise investment gurus. They simply went with the one that was provided. Can you rely on that outcome? Market investing carries significant risk, and that risk is not even in your control. You have the possibility to gain more than you can in a standard savings account, but that possibility comes with risk. You know, one of the first rules of investing is that you should never invest more than you can afford to lose. I mean, stories abound about people who put their financial faith in their 401k only to find it depleted by market risk. Just because it's a retirement plan doesn't mean that the market is going to cooperate. Many seem to take for granted that the market is just going to simply go up and up and up, and that's just not how it works. And losses, they're not easily regained. Your dreams for your future, they can be devastated overnight. Now, the third area of concern for 401ks, it's their cost. This is a biggie, and no one ever talks about this. In a Frontline report aptly titled, The Retirement Gamble, John Bogle, CEO of Vanguard Investments, he points out that the hidden fees, the small little hidden fees of just 1.5% to 2% within the managed mutual funds we are all commonly sold in our 401ks, that can eat up over 60% of our potential earnings over the long term, over the 30 to 40 years. 60% going to the fat cats. And he points out that the magic of compound interest that we're all sold and we're told to employ and use in our retirement strategy, it works both ways. It compounds with the costs as well. Mutual funds are a concept that was conceived for the benefit of the Wall Street bigwigs, not the nest egg builders like you and I. Somehow, we were all sold on it, or we had no other choice for our retirement planning. Most people have no idea about these costs. And those people selling companies the 401ks are sure to make sure that ignorance continues. And that's why this show is here, to help you stop paying that ignorance tax. But that's a tax you will continue to pay unless you do something about it. So stay tuned here each and every week, and we're going to discuss what there is to do. I'm Matt Terrio, and this is Creating Epic Wealth, real estate investing for busy people.